I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Is there a difference between birthing in the United States compared to Canada? Well, in today's episode, we are going to hear from Jessie. Jessie is a mother of two from Colorado, USA, currently living in Quebec, Canada. She had her first baby in the US, which she states was not a common birth story from the States. And her second baby was born in Canada. Both of her babies were born in birth centers, but her experiences were very different between the countries. Curious about Jessie? Find her on Instagram as Pearls from My Mom. Hi, Jessie, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Anna. How are you?
I'm really good. It's a beautiful morning here in Australia. And I know it's evening over in Canada, but the sun is shining still because it's summertime. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to have you on and to hear about your two natural births in two different freestanding birth centers, one in the US and one in Canada. So let's dive in and talk about them. Hey, please us through the early signs of labor approaching with your first Baba over in the US.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I'm excited. It's been a while since I've told this story, but I think it's going to come rushing back. So my first signs of labor, I actually had quite a bit of contraction, like not real contractions, but I went to the birthing center several times before, you know, going into actual labor, thinking like, I'm in labor. Every time they were like, no, go home. Like, you'll know when you're in labor. So I think that the earlier signs, well, my son was really late. He was supposed to be born on October 31st. He was supposed to be a Halloween baby, and he was actually born on November 10th.
Right.
So he was quite late. But I just, for maybe like the week or two before, I just felt like I couldn't sleep. I just could not sleep. I like had to stay up all the time, and I was always kind of just like unsettled, roaming around. And then I really started to feel like I was going to go into labor, and I kind of had no choice. It had been so long after my due date that like the midwife said, he's going to have to come out at some point.
You know? They always do.
That's right. That's right. So my actual first sign of labor was my water breaking, which I know is not that, it's not that normal. You see it in the movies. That's the first one on the movies. But yeah, it was my water breaking was the first thing that happened.
Beautiful. And so when was that then? So how many weeks were you when you actually had that happen?
So I would have been 42, like going into week, like almost like to where you can't give birth anymore.
Well, you can give birth. It's just that what we call like term is, 37 weeks to 42 weeks. But for some women, their actual normal gestation is even past 42 weeks. So you could have been one of those women where that was just your normal, you know?
I think so, because my daughter was late too when I tell that story. So
which is not late. It's actually your just normal gestation. We just need to change the narrative around this, you know, late and, you know, you're not late until, you know, you have, so most women like statistically will have a baby between 37 and 42 weeks. And so that's why that's called term. So actually 42 weeks would be after that would be maybe considered late, right? Because that's okay. Like still normal. So I think, you know, I'm just putting it out there to the universe that, you know, we need to change the terminology around babies are not late. They are not late.
I like that. I'm totally down with that change.
All right. So you're 40, soon 42 weeks and your waters break. What happens then? Yeah.
So I was at home with my mom and my sister. My sister ended up being my birthing partner. And, you know, she was staying with me because she knew that it had to happen soon. And so my mom, you know, the midwives, I had to take several classes in order to give birth at the freestanding birth center. And so they kind of had prepared us for, okay, so even if your water breaks, or even if you feel like you're in like labor, like you're going to have to wait until your contractions are very close together. You know, like you can't just come into the birthing center, you know, as soon as your water breaks or anything. So, I kind of set up a, you know, those big like exercise balls. So I kind of set one of those up in the living room and I kind of just rolled around on it for a bit. My mom got busy making cookies because that's what my mom always did when she like didn't know what else to do with herself.
Oh, I love that. That's a good thing for a mom to do in early labor too, to distract herself.
Oh, she was pumping out cookies like nobody's business. And, you know, my sister was making sure we had all of she's my older sister. She had given birth, but she had a very different, she wanted to do natural, but she couldn't, she had twins and there was problems there. So she was like making sure she was all read up on the books, you know, cause she had not done the whole labor thing. And so, yeah, it was a busy household, lots of hustling and bustling around, but I was kind of just rolling around on my ball for a while until they started coming closer and closer together.
Beautiful. Okay. So what kind of time frame are we talking about? When did your waters break in the day and what happened?
So it was around 10 p.m.
Okay.
At night. And I don't remember what day. I think it was a Sunday. Maybe it was a Sunday. I don't know. Anyway, but it was 10 p.m. And then it started to get much more active. And I believe I went in closer to, I want to say it was like right around midnight or one when I was able to go to the birth center.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's pretty quick then. So your waters broke at 10 and then after 2 hours you thought, all right, I'm in cranking labor. I need to go to the birth center.
Yeah. Yep. Everything started to get closer together and yeah, it worked out perfect. Like I was able to go in there and everything.
So what made you feel like it was time? What kind of sensations did you have? How did you feel both emotionally and physically, mentally at this point?
Well, because I had done all of the classes at the birth center and they had a really good system there where you would get to see all of the midwives. And so you didn't have like one particular midwife that was yours. You got to see everybody. So they made a really good job of making sure that you felt comfortable coming in. And as soon as you walked in, every single one of them knew who you were, knew what your deal was. You know, they knew what kind of birth they had birth plans that we had written out together and stuff. So I think they just made it such a welcoming environment. And they did such a good job of educating us in our classes about trusting our bodies. And, you know, if you're starting to come close and the contractions are close together, then that's when you can come in and we can get it going.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right. So how did you get into there? Did you have to drive? Did your mom or sister drive you in? No.
It was my mom or my sister. One of the two drove me in for sure. And then they were both there during the whole entire time.
Yeah. How was the car ride?
It wasn't, the birth center wasn't too far, but I, you know, there was certainly like a lot of gripping of, you know, the hand things on the side of the side of the door, you know, because active labor can be, you know, painful. You get labor pains. It can be painful. So there was some gripping, and as long as I didn't have to drive, it was fine with me. And the roads were clear, so it was all good.
Yeah, that's good. And how did you work with the labor sensations?
Well, so every room in the birthing center actually had a nice big water tub for a water birth. And I knew that that was something that I had wanted to do just based on all of the research that I had done. And so I ended up I had picked out a room. They had like different themes, for lack of a better term, in the birthing center. And I had picked one out that kind of looked like a cave. It had these beautiful, like, dark tapestries that were kind of like up on the ceiling, and it kind of was very small and just like dark. And it seemed like it was, I don't know. I walked in there and I was like, I want to give birth in this room. So that was part of my birth plan. But unfortunately, when I got there, it had been used the day before. And so they gave me this like much bigger room, which actually ended up being really, really nice. But it had a tub in it. So, you know, for a while I got in there and I kind of set myself up, and they had chairs and a bed. And it was, what I really liked about the birthing center is that they said, this is, you know, your body's going to take over and you're going to know best. So like, and what kind of scared me about a hospital birth was you have to lay in the bed and you have no choice. Like, like that's, at least that's how it is for most of my friends that have had babies. And you know, it didn't seem natural to me, you know, like if they were like, if you want to get up and walk around, you can walk around. Like if you want to get in the tub, you get in the tub. If you want to sit in the chair, you sit in the chair. So early on when it was, you know, tingling and everything, I got myself on the bed and I had a, you know, birthing playlist of music. I got myself going. And then I think as soon as it got real active and it started to, you know, the tension really started coming through in my belly, that's when I got into the tub.
So you got into the birth center around midnight. When you got in there, did they just kind of say, you know, just do your thing and we'll just observe you? Or what happened? What did the midwives kind of do when you got in there?
Well, I feel like I was really lucky. I had the head midwife, the lady that started the birthing center. She was the one that happened to be on call that night. And she was kind of one of my favorites. She did a lot of my classes. I mean, they were all wonderful, beautiful people, but she had given birth to 5 boys herself, all natural. So like, I knew that she knew what was up, you know, like, I knew that she knew how to give birth and she knew how to help other people. And she had caught like some crazy number of babies. So I was like, this lady knows what she's doing and that's awesome. So I felt really comfortable with her. And yeah, she was really good about just letting us set up how we wanted. And you know, she's like, if your mom wants to be your runner, she's going to go get you the ice chips or, you know, whatever it is that you need. That's great. Your sister can be here holding your hand. I did hire a doula. That one's kind of funny. She was like halfway through her doula training and she needed to observe a few more births before she could be a full doula. So I let her be a part of my birth. Like I didn't have to hire her. She was kind of there. So I had like a lot of support. I had all kind of wonderful, strong women surrounding me. And yeah, they just kind of, at the birthing center, they just let me kind of dictate what I wanted to do.
Beautiful. All right. And so you were on the bed for a while, just hanging out. Was that something that was comfortable for you while you were?
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was. And then, you know, you get to a point where I don't know, it just didn't seem super natural to me to be laying in a bed like that. And I just liked the idea of the water birth so much. So I think that was kind of what compelled me to get in the tub. And by that point, I was like really tired because I hadn't been sleeping very well leading up to, you know, going into labor. So I was like really tired by the time I got in the tub. And I kind of just ended up, it was a really pretty large tub, not like a bathtub. It was like a mini pool, you know, but like a big mini pool. So I kind of ended up just like draping my arms over the side and having my belly kind of down and just like relaxing like that for a while.
Mm. So what's the time frame? If you want to step us through kind of, you know, as you go through the whole process, just take us through, like, so maybe, you know, so we have an idea of where you're at in your labor. So when you came, for example, it was midnight, and then you said you were on the bed for a while. So what is a while? If you just kind of go back and go through that a little bit, so we can have a, you know what I mean? So we can follow you in your story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the very beginning was kind of, you know, sitting on the bed and having the midwives, you know, check my, you know, whatever vitals they had to check. So I'm, you know, I'm not a midwife, but there was like a blood pressure cuff probably, yeah, and probably a stethoscope, yeah, and stuff like that. And then I remember I wanted to get up and walk around for a bit. So probably like an hour into, after like laying on the bed, having them check my vitals and stuff. You know, the pains, the contractions started to come and they started to get pretty strong. So I felt like I might want to walk around a bit. And I was actually really lucky because I had the birth center to myself that night, which is like total accident, but was very nice because it could be possible that six other people could have been giving birth at the same time. But it was just me. So I got to like walk around the halls and I had kind of my gown, you know, mostly, it wasn't even, I don't even remember what it was, like a robe kind of thing. And it was kind of just like open and like, I was just kind of strolling around the hallway, you know, because I just felt like I wanted to get up and kind of move around. So I probably, you know, did that for about a half hour or so. And then, so we're talking maybe now it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And so then that's probably when I got in the tub and I stayed in the tub for the next couple hours or so.
Okay. And so how was that when you entered the bath?
Oh, I loved it. It was, I mean, obviously it was an active labor. So, you know, I mean, there were definitely contractions, very strong coming. And I apologize if I use like any of the wrong terminology. Like I said, I'm not.
No.
Like
a...
Okay, good. So it was, I just felt like it was a super relaxing place to be. You know, when you get to be 42 weeks pregnant, generally your joints can sometimes, you know, feel like they're being a little bit stressed. And in the water, there wasn't any of that stress. So the only thing that I had to focus on was that the belly, you know, like just the contractions and just making sure that I was doing the pushing when I needed to be or the relaxing when I needed to be.
So when you got into the bath, do you mean that you actually were starting to push? Was that the cue for you to get into the bath?
No, I mean, you know, like, I just remember that I got in there and they let me kind of just like lay there. And then I'd kind of just live through the contraction. I was so tired by that point, and it was super early in the morning, you know, 2:33 or so. And so I would almost, because I was leaned up, and it was almost like I was laying, I would almost like fall asleep in between, you know, like my contractions were only like a minute or so apart. So it was like, I'd bear through one, I'd deal with it. And then I'd kind of like close my eyes and rest for a minute. And then I'd bear through it, deal with it. And then I'd kind of rest my eyes for a minute. And I remember, so I was probably in the tub for like at least an hour, maybe a little bit more. Cause people were starting to get bored with, maybe not bored, but they were kind of starting to, my sister was like, when is this thing going to happen? And my mom was, you know, she didn't have any way to make cookies in the birthing center. So she was all nervous. And I remember that Tracy, the head midwife, looked at me and I, like I said, I knew she was tough and she had had five of her own and she had five boys. And like that, you know, I knew she was a strong mama. And she looked at me and she said, if you like, we're ready for you to push. I know you're really tired, but if you want this to be over with, just get it done. Just push now, like we're ready to, like, I know you're tired, but, and so that was kind of the motivation to give me, that's when I remember I was able to start pushing. So I started pushing in the tub, and then I remembered her talking about a stool. It was kind of like a rocking chair that didn't rock, but it had like a hole in
a birthing a birthing chair, a birthing stool.
Yeah. So I remember her saying that that was a really good natural position because you're upright and you were able to kind of, I mean, gravity does a bit of help with you there. So when she told me to like get it done, I was like, okay, I can do that. And she's like, give us a couple strong pushes. And then if you want, we'll get in the chair. Cause I had mentioned, I thought that would, you know, I kind of liked the idea of gravity. So I didn't have my baby in the pool. I had him on the chair because after I got on the chair, it was just like, a few means, maybe 10, 15 really good, strong pushes, and then gravity helped do its thing.
Yeah, that's the beauty of a birth stool, especially for first-time mamas, that where the second stage, the birthing, you know, process can take a bit longer, and that sitting on a birth stool is like sitting on a toilet. So you relax the right muscles, and which can be great, and it can just help that head descent really good. Yeah, but you also have to be careful when you're pushing on that chair in the end, as the head is coming out and crowning, so that you don't just shoot that baby out, because it is a really good position. So you have to be really slow in the end, so you don't, you know, prevent tearing, and just do that very gently. So it can be great for descent, and then you could potentially have your baby on the stool if you do it gently, or you could get off and be on all fours or whatever other position you feel like to gently ease your baby out. So tell us about that. Tell us about birthing, actually birthing the baby and the head and the crowning and all that.
Yeah, it did seem like it went pretty fast after I got onto the stool. And I did, I kind of just, by that point I was super tired, and I kind of, I loved the idea of creating a new human life. And, but you know, after a few hours, I was like ready to just have the life and not to be like in the active, you know, part of pushing out the life. So, I just remember they put a mirror down there. Like, you know, I don't even remember if I looked or not, but my sister said she did. And she always reminds, every time I say anything that I'm like, can you do me a favor? And she's like, I've already done you the biggest favor I possibly could. But she loved it. Don't let her tell you otherwise. Yeah. And, he kind of, like I said, gravity just came, and just kind of, he just pushed right out. It did end up doing a little bit of tearing, because it was, like you said, pretty quick. But you know, nothing that wasn't worth it or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's around 50% of women will have a little bit of a tear. Could be like, if there's different stages we talk about, you know, first, second, third, and fourth, and, you know, first and second, it's pretty common to have a little bit of a tear. And the last ones are pretty rare. So having a little bit of a nick can be easily stitched afterwards as well. So your baby's born. What happens then? Did you catch your baby? Did you put your baby straight skin to skin? Tell us about the...
Yeah. So the midwife was down there. She got him. And then immediately the chair was very close to the bed. So I knew I wanted to do skin to skin. So she said, let's get you on the bed. And she had him, but he was still attached to me, of course, you know, the cord and all of that. So we kind of just shimmied me over to the bed, and we were able to just put him right on my chest. And they said I was able to just keep him there as long as I wanted to. So I did, I kept him there for a while, probably, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so, just me and him, and just enjoying my baby boy. And then they said I needed to give, you know, a few more pushes to get the placenta out. So I did that. And we let the cord just run naturally of blood, you know, so we just left him attached for a while, because I heard that was good to let it flow.
Delayed cord clamping.
Yeah. So then we just let it go. And then when they felt like it was time, my mom came and cut the cord. She thought that was really neat that she got to do it. And she said, I just remember her saying, this is a lot thicker than, like, she's like, it looks like, she's like, it's a little, it's not like cutting anything I've ever cut before. But she really enjoyed being the one that got to do that.
And a lot of people compare it to the feeling of cutting calamari.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
You could see that. So then, I mean, they checked him, but they told me they weren't going to take him and clean him or do any of that stuff until I wanted him to, you know. They were like, we can weigh him whenever you want. So we just laid there for quite a while. And then I had, you know, taken all the classes. So I knew about getting him to breastfeed and latch right away to see if we could make that work. And it was like magic. He just did it. It was almost like it was natural the way it's supposed to be, you know, he just latched right on. And I was hooked. I loved it. I loved him. I loved everything about our little birth story.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I love that you say love. I mean, I really think it's important to mention that. I don't know why that is common. And I hear that,
from American mothers that their babies get washed after birth or cleaned. And, you know, that is not common everywhere around the world. You know, here in Australia, that's not common. We don't do that. We let it go for days. There is absolutely no reason to clean a baby. They are perfectly clean. If they have a little bit of blood on them, you know, sometimes it can be a bit bloody, then you can wash away that. You can, you know, take a little, just a little washer and just take some, you know, of that away. But actually the vernix and all of that coating that they get through vaginal birth is why vaginal birth is a great way of birthing your baby. It's giving that baby immunity. It's informing that baby of the flora that is going to be in its world. Like, it's giving the baby, you know, your flora, you know, your immunity. And it's really important actually not to wash a baby.
For sure. And I remember, like, I remember when I started doing all the classes and stuff, they mentioned that. And I know my birth story in terms of American birth stories is very different, vastly different than most of my friends. I have, I know one other friend that did natural births like I did. But everybody else that I know has this weird, it was, and I didn't, that was one of the reasons I looked into a birthing center, because I never had much experience with hospitals, but they always just see, and I know that there are some lovely, wonderful people that work in hospitals,
absolutely,
but it always, everything seemed so like clinical to me. And like, I liked the philosophy that it made it seem like I was in charge of something mm-hmm. that my body was doing, and that the instinct would help take over. And they really trusted me because I had gone through the classes, and they, you know, they trusted that I knew what was best for my body and kind of just let it happen. You know, I mean, they were obviously there coaching me through it, but that's, and so that's very different than all of my friends that have given birth in the States. And that's one of the reasons I chose.
Yeah. And washing and cleaning your baby after birth is not evidence-based, you know, it's actually the opposite. So also knowing that sometimes things are practiced, not because it's evidence-based, but because it's been practiced for a long time. So it just continues to be practiced. Yeah. And I think we need to talk about that. Babies are not dirty. They don't need to be cleaned. They come from a sterile environment, and then they get your coating, which is really important for their microbiome, and informs the rest of their immunity and their life. You know, it's really important.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Beautiful story. So that's your first little bubba. That was 11 years ago, wasn't it? I think you told me.
Yeah.
So tell us about your second that then ended up being in Canada.
That's right. Yeah. So I had two different countries, two very different birth stories, but, you know, still in a birthing center, a freestanding birth center. And I picked it again because obviously I had such a great experience with the first time. I don't think I would have done anything differently with my first birth. So I thought, you know, the second baby should be just the same. I loved it. And I had just moved to Canada with my husband So I didn't even have my like health card yet or anything. Of course, healthcare is very different in both countries. So I didn't even have my health card yet or anything. But I went to the birth center and I took a visit, and I think I was the last person to get in, the last non-citizen to get in. Because then they got so popular that they started closing it off, and they wouldn't let anybody, you know, like I hadn't even gotten my permanent residency yet. So I was the last non-citizen to get in at the birth center. But yeah, that was 8 years ago. I had my daughter there, and it was very interesting. So I live in a part of Canada where they speak French, and my French isn't awesome. It's still not super awesome. My husband is French. But when I went to the birth center, it was a very different experience because there was even a bit of a language barrier there, because not all of the midwives felt awesome about their English either. So it was definitely a different experience there.
Wow. Okay. So tell us about it. Start off with the early signs of labor approaching and walk us through your birth.
Yeah. So my daughter was supposed to be born on, you know, again, you said we talked about, it's not late. She just, they estimated that she was going to be born on October 9th, and she ended up being born on October 21st. So, you know, I guess I just have a comfortable womb. Maybe I don't know. Oh, maybe yes. Babies just want to stay in there.
Yeah.
So we actually, at this birth center, it was a little less, I kind of feel like the one I had my baby at in Colorado was kind of, it had like a hippie-ish vibe, you know, it was like very earthy and natural. And this one was also, obviously, it's a birth center, so it was natural, but it didn't have as much of like a laid-back vibe. So they were really worried about me being able to give natural birth there. And so
why is that? Why were they worried? You'd just done it before, 3 years earlier.
And they were worried that I was going to be going too long. So after their policy is here, after 42 weeks, you can't do it in a natural birth center.
Right.
So they were really worried because I was coming up on the last week. So I remember the last week I actually went and did acupuncture. Because I had a lot of the same like false kind of contractions within the last couple weeks. And again, because I was past my due date, as you know, I'm giving you the air quotes here. You know, I just kept like, I kept calling the midwives and I was like, I'm not sure. I feel like I'm doing it. But they were like, no, you're not. You'll know. So I'd gone and done acupuncture. And then I thought for sure I'd go into labor the next day, but I didn't. And then I remember I went to go see the midwives and they said, well, you're going to have to schedule an induction.
Wow.
For Monday, I know, for Monday morning. And I was like, but I really don't want to, you know, like I know I can do this. I've already given natural birth. Like, I know I can do it. And they said, well, it's just the policy here. So that was over the weekend. And I was scheduled to be induced on Monday morning.
I just want to pause there for a second and just say, I just, all women, I just want you to know that, yes, this might be policy. That does not mean that you have to do anything. You know, maybe that birth center you're at or the care provider you're at says, okay, well, I can't care for you anymore. So if you have to move then to a hospital or somewhere else where, you know, you can still dictate. You can still say, actually, I want to go longer. I don't want to be induced. I want, you know, I can do your checkups or, you know, if that aligns with you, obviously. But I'm going to wait for natural labor to start. I'm going to go over my 42 weeks. So you always, there's no law. Okay, everybody out there. And no one can force you to have an induction. No one can force you to do anything.
I think that's a really good point. And honestly, I feel like had I been in Colorado in a place where I was super comfortable, I probably would have said, no, I'll just do a home birth then. Or, you know, like I'll just hire my own midwife. But I think because I had just moved to Canada, I was living in a place where I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the language. I feel like I probably... just they were like, this is how it is. And I'm like, okay, you know, but I think that's a really good point. Like I feel like if I had done it in the, you know, the same place in Colorado, I probably would have
and it's
been
something
more assertive.
That, yeah. It's something that a lot of women feel, even in their comfort, you know, where they live, is that they feel like they don't have options or that it's worded. The language that the healthcare provider use makes it sound like you have no choice and you always have choice. And that's just what I wanted to, you know, put that in there, that it's so important to know that and to just hear that. Sometimes you just need to listen to a podcast like this, that someone just voices that to you and you go like, oh yeah, yeah, right. Of course, I'm a sovereign woman. Of course I can't be forced to do anything. But especially when you're in those places where there's still hierarchy and there's still that kind of thing that they know better, you know, they are the healthcare providers and just the way they word things sometimes. Some are great at wording it very openly and giving you, you know, understanding that it's your choice. And some just say, no, this is what you have to do. Or this is our policy, which sounds like this is law, which is, it's not. It's not law.
Right. For sure. No, I think that's a really good point. And so so they scheduled it for Monday. This was like on a Friday when the midwife said, they were like, you have to go talk to the doctors. And so I scheduled the induction for Monday morning. And on Friday, the midwife that was tending me, she said, I want you to go home. She said, in her French accent, she said, I want you to have a thimble full of wine. I want you to take a very light, lukewarm bath. I want you to make love to your husband and your baby will come.
Yes.
So this is what she told me. And so I was like, all right, the midwife says so. Let's get it done. And so Saturday, I was stressed out because I really didn't want to, I wanted to do it naturally and I wanted to do it at the birth center. And then on Sunday, I took her advice and I relaxed and I had a thimble full of wine and I had a lukewarm bath and I made love to my husband. And my water broke at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh no, it was probably like, sorry, it was more like 1 o'clock in the morning or so, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, my water broke. So Sunday Yay. Into Monday. So so I was supposed to be induced on Monday and my water breaks. And so I'm like, all right, this is the deal. This is happening. We're going to do this. So I went, my contractions came pretty quickly after that again. So the midwife said I could come into the birth center. My husband drove this time. I do remember the drive pretty vividly because it was, my husband was so nervous. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't a part of my first birth story. And so, this was his, you know, first like foray into any of this. And he was so nervous and he was driving and I'm kind of clenching, you know, and making noises. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, we're going to get there. And the midwife said, because it was my second baby, I didn't have to wait as long. Because, you know, they were a bit worried, you know, I've already had the capacity to push out a baby. So I think they were a bit worried that if I waited too long that it could, you know, we could get stuck somewhere in the car.
Yeah, and your first labor and birth wasn't that long. So then, you know, usually, and especially, I mean, you did have 3 years in between, but it's not too far away. So it can be even shorter than half the time when they're pretty close together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we got to my husband's driving. He's so worried he was going to get pulled over or something. I was like, you don't have to speed. You know, we just get there alive. We'll get there safe. I'm not going to have a baby in the car. It's going to be fine. Mm. And we got to the birth center. It was very quiet there. This one, I did get to pick my midwife, and I picked one that was pretty good at English, and I felt like we had like a good rapport. And so, yeah, we got there, and they set us up in the room. It was just me and my husband in the room this time. My mom had flown up to Canada to take care of my son. I had another baby. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just got in the room, and I remember setting up pretty quickly on the bed, kind of same thing, just... I don't think I ever like laid down in the bed. I think I was just kind of sitting on the bed, working through the contractions, kind of figuring out how the game plan of how I was going to get it done. And then since the tub had worked for me so well the first time, I decided to fill up the tub again. And this one it was kind of a big, deep bathtub. We got in the tub probably. So I got to the midwife center probably at like 3. And then around maybe 4, I was in the tub, just kind of, sitting there relaxing, again, working through the contractions. And I wasn't very loud or anything. I was kind of just focused. The second time I was like, okay, like I've done this before. I remember that head midwife, you know, telling me just get it done if you want it to be done. Obviously, there's a time for pushing and stuff. So.
Oh, yes. So you can't just push. You have to wait until you actually get the urge just to push. Yeah.
Right. But this time I was a bit more prepared. I knew I would have to ride the waves of the contractions and just try to, keep focused. And I mean, yes, it is painful. And I was listening to one of your other episodes, and she had said something that the midwives and my doula had said, is that yes, it's painful, but it's not suffering. So I wasn't suffering. I you know, there is pain associated with it, but especially the second time around, like I was like, I just know that I'm gonna have to ride this wave. And then when they told me to push, it's my go time. So I stayed in the tub for a few hours. And then again, when they were really feeling like it was time for me to push, I had told them that I had done my first birth on a stool. So they offered me a stool, which wasn't as much of a chair. Like this time it was like a stool, like a squatty stool. And so I got on the stool, and very shortly after that, like my daughter came out. I really think it was like a few large pushes and then she was out.
And how does it feel for you when you're pushing your baby up and you're pushing the head out? Can you talk us through that feeling of the head coming out?
Yeah, I was more awake for my daughters. And I was kind of more, it's funny because I remember my son's very, very clear, but my daughter, I remember the end part very clearly. And I remember they asked if I wanted to reach down and touch her head. And so I did. And that's when I knew, okay, this is just like right around the corner. So knowing that she's there, knowing that she's in the right position, and knowing that if I just do a few really, really good pushes, I can get her out. It was really special. And to have my husband there, seeing all of that for the first time, and like just being so happy and, you know, somewhat terrified. And just, he said, most of all, he was just in awe of how strong I was, you know, how I didn't really say anything. I didn't, you know, I wasn't yelling at anybody. You know, you always see the movies and there's, you know, ladies that are like, you did this to me. And none of that. Like, it was just, here she comes, here comes our daughter. And I think it was a really powerful feeling knowing that that's something that I'm able to do twice. I could have done it more if I wanted to, probably, but twice was perfect for me.
So did you reach down and catch your daughter?
I didn't catch her. I don't, I'm like somewhat clumsy. So I was a little nervous. But my husband was down there, and then the midwife was down there as well. And I was very happy to let them do that.
Oh, lovely. So he was a part of that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really special. It was very nice. And then so we got her out, and I don't remember if the placenta, if I pushed it out right away or not. But since I had gotten to do the skin to skin with my son, I wanted to let my husband have a chance to do it. And so I have a picture where it's my daughter, and they put her in my arms first, and she's here, and my husband was behind me, kind of like sitting, you know, like straddling behind me and kind of hugging my arms. And then I let him take her for a bit to have him have some skin to skin with her before I took her.
Oh, that's beautiful for his bonding and their connection.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet. And like just seeing your partner, you know, have that kind of love for another little being, and seeing that little being, you know, they're just so helpless, but they know that like these people are here to protect them. I think it's just like one of the coolest things you can go through.
Yeah. Beautiful. And then you snuggled up in bed and had a little bit of a breastfeed, or?
Yeah, we did. So I got her snuggled up with me. I got her to latch a little bit. I felt, you know, since I had done breastfeeding before, I was lucky enough to know that, you know, have the confidence to do it again. And so I had, you know, snuggled her up and we latched, and then my mom came and brought my son. Actually, my alarm went off a few minutes after she was born because my alarm was set to go be induced. So it was set for 6 o'clock in the morning. And then like she was born. And then a few minutes later, this beeping was happening. And I was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's my alarm, because I was supposed to get up to go be induced, but I don't have to be because I had a baby. It was like perfect timing. And then my mom brought my son in, and he just thought that she was the coolest. You know, she was very, my son, I felt like he looked like a baby, you know, like you see, you know, he had the stuff all over him and all that. But my daughter, she looked like a little wrinkly old man, kind of in the cutest way possible, you know, like She was just had like all this little wrinkled face, and you know, her head wasn't exactly normal. You know, like that. Not no. I know that they come out in all shapes because they got to get through the canal. Yeah. But she just looked like a little tiny, wrinkly old man.
And that can happen also when they're, you know, when they're cooked a longer time, when you have a longer gestation, then they can come out a bit wrinklish mm-hmm. and look a little bit like they're a bit older. And mm-hmm. That's perfectly normal. But mm-hmm. it's cute. Yeah. Isn't it?
She was adorable. So then they started doing all the checkups on her, just, you know, listening to her lungs and stuff. And they were a bit worried about my daughter. Because they could hear some fluid in her lungs, mm-hmm. which they said is normal. Mm. But it was just more than they wanted. So they did end up saying that they wanted to transport her to the hospital. And I was pretty scared because it didn't happen with my son. Mm. And I had already told you, I like didn't love hospitals. Mm. So my husband ended up riding in the ambulance with her, and I had, of course, was not in any shape to like get up and move around for a little bit. So the midwives attended to me, and made me feel so comfortable. Like, you know, they said, we're just doing it's a precaution. Like it's, you know, your baby's strong. And they encouraged me to, write, actually I still have the paper, but they encouraged me to say, my daughter's name is, she is strong. She is healthy. She, you know, like she is going to take on the world. And so writing mm-hmm. all of those things and kind of doing those mantras at their urging really helped me feel a lot better while they were taking care of me, you know, so that I could get ready to go meet her at the hospital. So that was, I really appreciate them doing that for sure.
Beautiful. And how long did she have to stay in the hospital for?
So it wasn't long before I got to go join her. I took a little rest. They said, you know, go ahead and take a nap. Like you've had a night, just go ahead and take a nap. And then when you feel like you're ready, you can go. Mm. So I joined them. I had her around 6. I joined them probably like midday, the next day, you know, 6 a.m. And then I napped her a couple hours, and then I joined them probably around noon, and she just had to be there overnight. Just to make sure, and everything was totally fine. But it was kind of nice actually, because when I had my son, I had him at 4:45 in the morning, and then I like was home before lunchtime. They were like, you're good to go, you get out of here, like no problem. But I was terrified, you know, I like had this baby and I like, I'd put him down to sleep and I'd just stare over the side of the bassinet, like, okay, is he fine? Okay. He's breathing. It's all good. You know? So it was kind of nice to have a little bit of help caring in the first couple of hours. Cause then I knew I was able to rest, which I think helped me quite a bit.
Yeah. It can be like that, you know, especially as a first time mama, that it takes a while before it's like dynamite, holding dynamite. And, you know, just the first few days. And I know that. Yeah. But, I just want to, you know, come back to your baby and having some water in her lungs. Yes. It sounds like it was a pretty quick birth, you know, it was not long. And sometimes when you have a quick birth, especially second stage, the pushing out, sometimes they just don't have that enough pressure to expel all of that amniotic fluid from their lungs. And mm-hmm. so when it's a quick birth, sometimes that happens and they get a bit grunty or they have a bit of water. And it's just precautionary again, because you were in a birth center, they don't have the facilities, just to check that they transition. And to remember, you know, that babies want to live. They come out so resilient. They really do. And it's so different from, you know, how we kind of imagine, you know, because sometimes obviously your baby didn't need any kind of resus, but, you know, if baby do needs a little bit of resuscitation, you know, they need some help inflating their lungs or starting to breathe, which around 10% of babies do need. It's important to remember, if that's your baby, you know, babies want to live and they're brand new coming in. They just need a bit of help transitioning. It's so different from an adult that might need resus, you know, because they've lived their life and they might, you know, lived hard and their bodies are worn, whatever, you know, or they have stuff going on with their bodies. Like a baby is brand new and they're designed to, you know, live and they come with the will to live. So to remember that if ever, you know, you who are listening to this podcast right now, if any, you know, if your baby might need some, just a little bit of help to get some of that, you know, fluid out, or a little bit of, you know, help to inflate the lungs to take that first breath. And most of the time, you know, that is just all they need. And then they have a bit of a cry and a bit of a grunt and a bit of, you know, spit up of something, and then they're all good.
That's good. And like the midwives were so good about making sure that I felt really comfortable and that they knew, like you said, it was just a precaution. Like, I didn't feel alarmed at all. You know, so I think it was definitely they put me at ease for sure.
Mm, beautiful. Well, good. Mm-hmm. So, please share with us, if you had a first time mama in front of you right now, who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to optimize her chances of having an empowered and a natural birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I think I would definitely encourage somebody to do their research on the different types of midwife situations you can have. I loved the birthing center because I had never really thought about doing a home birth again, because I think my first baby was in the States and they make that seem so abnormal in a lot of places there, which I know it's not. It's in fact literally the most natural thing that you can do. So I think just doing the research on, if you want to have a natural birth, what does the center offer you, or what is the midwife going to be able to do for you in terms of, like, are they offering classes? Like, I felt so well prepared with my first baby because I believe it was a series of 8 classes. And so it was the same time every week. My birthing partner had to come with me. So I was with the same people every week. We were all about in the same boat, around the same time frame in terms of like where we were at. And I remember the midwife saying when she was teaching the class, she said, look around, like not every single person in here is going to be able to have a birth here at the birthing center. But you, if, you know, barring any, of course, weird, unnatural things that happen, like you have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. And I think they just made me feel so strong and so like, this is just something that women have been doing literally since the beginning of time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like you're just as strong and you're just as powerful as every single woman that came before you that's been doing this. And just knowing, so like they walked us through all these exercises, like draw what you think your birth is going to look like. And so they would split our birthing partners up, and most people, of course, were with their, you know, partners or significant others. And my sister and I, we had a lot of fun with the class. Like, we took it seriously, but you can kind of cut loose, I think, with your, like, everybody was like being all sentimental. And one guy was like, here's me crying while she's, you know, and I'm like, here's me listening to Billy Joel and eating Cheetos. Which I did get to eat some Cheetos. But I think just taking the classes if they're offered and making the most of that, getting yourself in the right mindset and knowing that this is such a natural thing that women have been doing for thousands of years, and we can all tap into that primal natural thing and get it done.
Yeah. I love that. And I want to add, even like, you know, you say taking the classes if they're offered. I would say, like, if there is not a class offered, and if there's such a difference in a birth center holding their antenatal classes compared to a hospital, which, you know, might offer you 2 hours, which mainly is about the drug options and a little bit about the stages of labor. You know, I would say be proactive. If you want to have a natural birth, take classes, you know, whether mm-hmm. they are in group, live, or an online, and do your research. There's so many different birth preparation courses out there, and not all will rhyme with you and resonate with you, you know. So to find your own, you can even do a few, especially if you're a first-time mom. You know, you can't get enough of different techniques and tips and ideas. And also just understanding the process makes you feel empowered. You know, then when you go through different stages, you can feel, oh, I'm still just in early. Oh, now this is happening. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is transition right now. I'm feeling, you know, this rush of adrenaline, or I'm feeling maybe this crisis of confidence, or maybe I'm doing a big vomit, or maybe I feel now I need to poo. Oh, that's probably in my baby's head. You know, all these different things. And I know that in some countries, like here in Australia, their antenatal classes in most hospitals offer, you know, either, a two-hour one, or it can be longer, or a few nights for a few weeks, something like that, as a minimum. But I would say, I don't think, if you actually want to have a natural birth, you need more than just the antenatal classes in a hospital, because hospitals, very general, they're more focused on just giving you the information about pain relief that is offered. Drug-wise, they talk about everything from cesarean to inductions to just covering everything that's happening in the hospital, which is great. It's good to know about those things. But if you want to go and aim for a natural birth, you need to actually put in the effort, both the time and the money and the energy. You know, so many women and, you know, peoples will spend so much money on their marriage, like, you know, their wedding, planning it for years and, you know, spending so much money. And that's an amazing thing, and it's lovely, and it's going to be one of the happiest days of your life. But as a woman, and as a man as well, you know, having a baby, especially your first, is like the biggest event of your life. It's going to be bigger than your wedding day. You know, especially for a woman, your body is going to transform. You're going through metamorphosis. You're having this amazing experience of becoming a mother. It's worth paying a few hundred dollars or whatever it could be to take that course and feel empowered.
And have 100%. And like, just to feel prepared. Like, I remember one of the things they had in our classes, they gave us bowls of ice water. It wasn't necessarily for like a specific breathing technique, but it was just to have us figure out if you're in pain, a la sticking your hand in ice water for 30 uh-huh. seconds at a time or whatever. If you're in pain, how can you work through that? And I remember them doing that during one of the later ones, and just thinking like, okay, mm-hmm. like now I've learned how to deal with that. And I think that's why the second birth was so, it was like clockwork to me, because I had dealt with it before, but I felt prepared for my first because I had done the classes. So I totally agree. I think classes are amazing. Definitely. Mm-hmm. They're worth every penny.
Thank you so much for being on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure having you and to receive your beautiful wisdom and birth stories.
Thank you for having me. It's been so nice to retell. I know, you know, some of the stories had a few holes in them because it's been a while, but, you know, my kids are well past the point where they want to snuggle with me. So it's nice to be able to talk about when they were so little and they just couldn't get enough of it. So I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.